The lies we are told, the truth we must hold. Worldviews and Their Consequences by Sharon James. Christian Focus 2022. 304 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Kirsten Burkett. About the author. Sharon James is an author of many books, conference speaker, and social policy analyst for the Christian Institute. She has degrees in history, Cambridge University, and theology, MDiv, Toronto Baptist Seminary, and a doctorate from the University of Wales. Contents. Part 1. The Lies We Are Told. Chapter 1. There is no God and no absolute morality. Chapter 2. No God. From atheism to death camps. 3. No absolute morality. From relativism to fatherlessness. Chapter 4. No universal truth. The death of common sense. Chapter 5. No universal humanity. Divided we fall. Chapter 6. False prophets. The compromised church. Part 2. The truth we must hold. Chapter 7. The biblical worldview. Foundation of truth, freedom, and dignity. Chapter 8. The Biblical Worldview, Foundation of Human Flourishing. Chapter 9. The Biblical Worldview, Christ is King, Hope for the Future. Chapter 10. What Should I Do Now? General Summary. A footnoted but accessible description of the way in which the biblical worldview in the West has been replaced by relativism and identity politics, and the sad consequences. Part 2 describes the biblical view and how it provides a better vision for humanity and society. There are summaries, further reading, and other resources provided. Part 1. The Lies We Are Told. Chapter 1. There is no God and no absolute morality. Faith has been virtually banned from the public square, replaced by the naturalistic worldview, assumed to be scientific, that this world is all there is. We evolved by chance. There is nothing special about humanity. There will be no judgment, and indeed, all authority or judgment can be considered evil. Self-actualization is the highest good, and restraints of Christian morality are evil. Religion is personal and unprovable. There is no purpose to history and nothing after death, and no universal truth. Chapter 2. No God. From Atheism to Death Camps. Ludwig Feuerbach, 1804 to 1872, in Essence of Christianity, 1841, claimed that God is just a comfort blanket, a human projection created from the desire to believe in life after death. We only need answer to the God within. Charles Darwin, 1809 to 1882, made atheism intellectually possible, and his evolutionary ideas spread far beyond biology to society in general, devaluing human life and feeding eugenics. Karl Marx, 1818 to 1883, wanted to overthrow society and abolish private property, abolish the family, the rule of law, and religion and morality, with no care for individuals. His ideas caused horror in Russia, China, Cambodia, and other communist regimes. Intellectual elites in the West call for the abolishing of capitalism. But when capitalism is thrown out, every marker of human flourishing decreases. Chapter 3. No Absolute Morality. From Relativism to Fatherlessness. Friedrich Nietzsche, 1844 to 1900, believed in the supremacy of the human will and little else. He rejected all idea of the transcendent or externally defined morality, despised pity and humility as slave mentality, and championed power, rejecting human equality and leading to nihilism. Sigmund Freud, 1856 to 1939, thought to be human is to be sexual, leading to the idea that sexuality is core to personal identity. He saw religion as a human construct grounded in fear and guilt, and family as the source of oppression. Wilhelm Reich, 1897 to 1957, called for permissive sex education and free sexual activity in adults and children. Margaret Sanger, 1879 to 1966, founder of Planned Parenthood and a eugenicist, saw sex as salvation, wanting sex liberated from the restraint of lifelong faithful monogamy. Today, the number of children left fatherless by sexual liberation is unprecedented in human history, and an epidemic of sexual violence has appeared. Chapter 4. No Universal Truth. The Death of Common Sense. Where direct revolution failed, other radicals sought to change ideas. Antonio Gramsci, 1891 to 1937, looked to overturn the Western cultural mindset by replacing common sense through repetition. The Frankfurt School started critical theory, looking to destabilize capitalist societies by means of ideas rather than violence. Ideas such as that all hierarchies are oppressive. Theodore Adorno, 1903 to 1969, classed moral disapproval as phobia and associated it with bigotry. Herbert Marcuse, 1898 to 1979, promoted the politics of envy and grievance and rejected tolerance and free speech in order to censor traditional ideas. Deconstruction decoupled language from truth, and knowledge was seen as a cultural construct. Five claims of critical theory. 1. Truth claims are power grabs. 2. Universal explanations are suspect. 3. Reason, logic, and science are tools of oppression. 4. Experience cannot be questioned. 5. All authority structures are repressive. The destruction of common sense was successful. Chapter 5. No Universal Humanity. Divided We Fall. Feminism's demand for equal opportunities has become demand for equal outcomes, and leads to more abuse of women. In 1977, the term identity politics came from a group of American feminists who rejected logic as patriarchal and claimed that establishing justice needed rather the experience of the oppressed. The same group developed intersectionality, victim status for being the focus of overlapping marginalizations, for example, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia. In 1989, the concept of gay orientation was developed to shift attention from behavior and choice to identity, affording minority, victim, status to gay people. Racism, a terrible evil, was drawn into systemic racism by critical theory, suggesting you can be racist without having any racist ideas, simply by being part of a privileged, white group. The only solution is to overthrow the system. Universal humanity is fractured. There is no forgiveness. Enforcing equal outcomes assumes state intervention in every aspect of life, and free society ends. Chapter 6. False Prophets, the Compromised Church. Finding materialism unfulfilling, many people turned in this 20th century to alternative spirituality, with the self at the center. Many clergy encouraged them, following in the footsteps of the liberal rejection of Scripture's authority throughout the 19th century. Such liberalism had created a different gospel, denying the transcendent in attempts to make Christianity more relevant, but in fact making it irrelevant. Expressive individualism swept the church, human reason and feeling placed above Scripture. Christians were led by the surrounding culture into accepting immorality, considered progressive, taking on a false view of social justice, and redefining love as absolute acceptance. Conclusion to Part 1. The most prosperous and free nations on earth have taken on a self-hating narrative, destroying the structures that created that freedom and prosperity. Part 2. The Truth We Must Hold. Chapter 7. The Biblical Worldview, Foundation of Truth, Freedom, and Dignity. The purpose of creation is to bring glory to its creator. Atheism is folly, contradicted by the very science that studies creation and its intricate design. Truth is real and there to be discovered. Morality and justice are grounded in God's nature. Humanity in God's image is the only basis for human dignity. We have moral responsibility and are accountable to God. We are all human and can relate and communicate with each other. Contrary to identity politics, which denies our capacity to engage with others, we are all sinners and sinned against, and can all be forgiven through Christ. Chapter 8, The Biblical Worldview, Foundation of Human Flourishing. Biblical truth is the only solid foundation of human flourishing in society. The married family is demonstrably good for people and society, and creates genuine social justice. Parental authority protects children. Work is good, as is rest. We are most truly fulfilled when we work hard to support our family and serve others. Respecting the rewards of work, including private property, benefits people and helps escape poverty. We are designed to live in community and care for others, and Christians have always done so. For Christian morality promotes the common good, but well-intended welfare provision that unintentionally discourages family formation or the work ethic does more harm than good. Civil authorities are appointed by God to restrain wrongdoing and should be respected, while recognizing that they are accountable to God. The existence of nations is not inherently wrong and can protect against global tyranny. Chapter 9, The Biblical Worldview. Christ is King. Hope for the future. Without God, there is no hope. Christians have hope because Christ has triumphed and will return. The gospel brings blessings and now and perfect fulfillment to come. Confidence in Christ leads people to fight against abuse now. We encourage each other as we look forward to the resurrection. We will be raised to true justice and a renewed world. All the damage of sin will be healed. Chapter 10. What should I do now? Our culture has been poisoned with lies. We must speak truth with confidence. We must fear the Lord, not people, and love others, even those who persecute us. We are to live out God's values so that others may be ashamed. Titus 2:8. Working hard, being contented and generous, preparing our minds so we can give answers to others. We must study God's word and submit to its authority, with joyful praise, freed from fear. We pray for God's will to be done, and work for it, in action and preaching. An extensive list of further resources is provided. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only and, except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.